Let's open up to the book of Jude. We're in verse number 4.
Verse number 4, let's go ahead and read that verse and then we'll jump right into it. For there are certain men crept in unawares. And of course, they're the subject of the verse. These certain men crept in unawares. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so last time we were stuck right in the middle of trying to define lasciviousness. Now, to define it, it has two aspects to the definition. Not two definitions, it's all one definition, but two aspects of the definition. One is a complete lack of restraint. And the other part of the definition is with that lack of restraint, there is also a complete absence of guilt. And so when we look around in our society today and we see some of the crimes that are being committed, horrific crimes, and you see no remorse from those that are committing them. These are people that are guilty of lasciviousness in the biblical definition. If you look in a modern dictionary and you look up lasciviousness, it is now limited only to a sexual content or context, but it goes much beyond that. And as we consider these certain men crept in unawares, we understand that even though for some of these men that God is talking about, that may have been part of the aspect of what God was referring to, but probably with most of them, that doesn't even enter the picture. But there's other problems that go along with lasciviousness. They have a complete lack of restraint. They're in it for the money. They're in it for the popularity. They're in it for all kinds of personal reasons, but not to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And they don't feel any guilt about it. And so there's a lot of men out there like that today. There's one down in Houston that has a big arena that he has what he calls church every Sunday, and he's on television. A lot of people like him. He gets on talk shows. Of course, I'm talking about Smiley Joel. And what's he in it for? He's certainly not in it for the glory of God, because remember, we looked last week, Jesus said, by your fruits you shall know them. What kind of fruits does he have? He writes a lot of books. He's very popular. People go to him for his opinion. He makes a lot of money, has a lot of expensive homes. But where's God in all of it? When the man won't even get up and say, Jesus is the only way, he won't say that. Now, it's been a number of years, but he was on a talk show, and he was specifically asked, will a Muslim who follows the Islamic way make it to heaven? He outright refused to answer the question. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that poor Muslim is going to burn in hell because he has been misled and mistaught. And so, anyway, there's a lot of men out there. That's lasciviousness, though. We see it in Joel Osteen. We see it in a lot of other men that have study Bibles with their names on it, that are endorsing this and that, that are teaching in Bible colleges. They're not in it for the glory of God. These are the certain men crept in, how? Unawares. They snuck in and nobody noticed. That's what's wrong with the Southern Baptist Convention. They had a whole lot of these certain men creep in unawares. And they took over. And we say that the Southern Baptists, the conservatives took it back over. Well, a conservative Southern Baptist is a liberal, independent, fundamental Baptist. And so just mark that down. There's some, I imagine some in the Southern Baptist Convention that are halfway decent, but a conservative Southern Baptist, for the most part, is going to be a liberal, independent Baptist. And that's just the way it is. That's reality, because certain men have crept in unawares, taken over an awful lot of things and had a profound influence even on those that would be regarded as conservative in their own denomination. All right, well, let's go on with lasciviousness. We looked at Mark chapter 7 and found that lasciviousness proceeds from the heart. We also looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21, and found that lasciviousness, if it's in our lives, if the Holy Spirit convicts us of that, it's something we need to repent from. And so let's move on to Galatians chapter 5. What's in Galatians chapter 5? Fruit of the Spirit. But before he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he talks about something else. And so let's pick it up in verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So God makes it pretty easy if we'll just read his word and take what he says at face value. If you're having a struggle with a particular sin in your life, which according to the book of Hebrews, that sin that does so easily beset us, we all have something that we struggle with. The reason we struggle is right here. He says if you walk in the flesh, you won't have a problem with that. I said that backwards, didn't I? If you walk in the Spirit, you won't have a problem with that. And that is where the problem lies. Walking in the Spirit all the time. Because it's so easy to slip into the flesh. And so we just need to be careful. But let's go on. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. And that's why the so-called Christian rock music is wrong. That's why certain styles of dress are wrong. It's flesh. It's flesh. And God says that is contrary. That's why it's so important what you listen to on your own time. Because you cannot have the spiritual life God wants you to have if you're listening to the wrong stuff. That's flesh. Certain activities, it's flesh. You can't be involved in that. It will destroy your spiritual walk with God. We're talking about walking in the Spirit, and these are ways you can not walk in the Spirit, but rather walk in the flesh. All right? Verse number 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh. Now, this is the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness. And what's that last one in this verse? Lasciviousness. And then it goes on: idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And none of those are a good thing, are they? And lasciviousness is packed right in there in the middle. And so what we learn from this verse about lasciviousness, or from this passage, is that it's a work of the flesh. It's a work of the flesh. It's contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. It's contrary to a spiritual walk. It's a walk in the flesh. Now, what does that say about these certain men crept in unawares? Because remember, they're the ones who are in the bullseye on our target. These certain men crept in unawares. Not the average church member, but the average preacher, whether it be a televangelist, whether it be a faith healer, whether it be whoever he may be. God says there are certain men crept in unawares, and we need to have our antenna up, because we looked at the verse when we were talking about verse number 3 about contending for the faith, that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, we know this building can't do anything about it, can it? And so when God says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, who's he talking about? He's talking about you guys. We need to know the Word of God enough that we recognize these certain men crept in unawares. And when we lose the ability to recognize these certain men crept in unawares, then we are in a whole boatload of trouble. You say, well, we're already in a whole boatload of trouble. That's right. Because we, for decades now, have been saying doctrine is unimportant, doctrine is boring. If you preach doctrine, I will fall asleep. That's what the devil has whispered in the Christian's ears, and we've fallen for it. And because we fell for it, we don't know doctrine. And because we don't know doctrine, these certain men have crept in unawares, unnoticed. The red flags didn't go up. Or if they did, we ignored it. Because we like him. He smiles so nicely. And he gives such a good sermon. Therefore, it must be good. Well, God would say otherwise. So walking in the flesh, the work of the flesh, contrary to the Spirit. All these so-called Spirit-filled preachers, guess what? They're nothing of the kind. They may be loud. They may be yibber-yabbering and all kinds of baby talk. But they're not Spirit-led. They're flesh-led. Take that down. The Word of God makes it very clear. All right. Let's move on to another verse as we continue to look at lasciviousness, a word we don't use very often, though we're familiar with it. But what does it really mean? Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 19. Here God simply says this, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now the all uncleanness with greediness is done because they've given themselves over, they've sold out, they've thrown their all in, hook, line, and sinker to lasciviousness, a complete lack of restraint and a complete lack of guilt. And God says the reason they gave themselves over to lasciviousness is because they are beyond feeling. And that's what we learn about lasciviousness here. It's the result of being beyond feelings. Oh, he cares so much when he preaches. No, he doesn't. He can put on a good show. Now, I don't remember. Now, this goes back in the mid-1900s. There was a boy preacher that was really famous. I don't know how old he was. I'm thinking he was just in his early 20s when he told the truth and went into Hollywood and became a cowboy actor or something, played in Westerns. But anyway, he said it was all a show, all a show. Everybody wanted to go hear the boy preacher who could preach the Word of God like he was a veteran of many, many decades. But it was just a show. There's a lot of guys out there, it's just a show. And so don't fall for it. Don't let them creep in unawares. And so God tells us they're past feeling. They don't care. What about these guys who are begging like Jimmy Baker? Boy, what a beggar he was. I don't know if he still is. Who gives him the time of day anymore? Unfortunately, somebody does. I was talking to a friend of mine down in North Carolina. It's been a couple of weeks ago, and he said, your buddy's on television. And of course, he was talking about Jimmy Baker. And that guy could beg better than the people on the street corners. And no shame, no restraints, no guilt. Taking advantage of God's people and stealing God's money. Imagine the audacity of someone like that. It's because they're past feeling. They could care less about anybody. Sure, they say, send me X amount of dollars and I'll pray for you. They're not going to pray for you. They're lying through their teeth. They could care less. They're past feeling. And they're not going to feel any guilt because they've sold themselves over to lasciviousness. And so don't let these wolves in sheep's clothing get their hooks into you. Find someone who's true to the Word of God. Know the Word of God well enough that you can identify these certain men so they don't creep into your life and into your pocketbook and into your feelings unawares. I know I'm not being very kind, but this is actually a loving sermon. It really is. We need to be aware because in the first century, the Christians let them slip in and they didn't notice it. Now think about that. Some of these people perhaps had seen Jesus perform miracles. I don't know. It wasn't that much after Jesus went to heaven, was crucified, buried, and rose again, and then ascended into heaven. It wasn't that much longer after that that Jude wrote this. And so it's conceivable that there would be some that he's talking to that let these wolves in sheep's clothing slip in unawares, these certain men. It's an amazing thing to think about it. All right, well, let's move on. We've got one more time when the word lasciviousness is used. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. And again, you have lasciviousness leading off a list of some pretty bad stuff. But what he's telling us here is it's a part of the former life. Now, what does it tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What's supposed to happen to those old things? Passed away, and all things are made new. Now, if you've got someone that's a preacher, now, the qualifications that God has given us is that he's not a novice. He should be beyond those old ways. And if you've got a man out there practicing the old ways, the old former life, guess what he probably doesn't have? He probably doesn't have the new life. He's probably as lost as that needle in the haystack. In fact, loster. There's a chance you could find that needle in the haystack. But he's not going to get saved unless he changes his ways and trusts Christ. And so, it's the old life. Lasciviousness is indicative of that. And so this is as many times, these five times, as that word lasciviousness is found. Now, if you go into the Greek, we find three more occurrences of the same word, though translated differently. And so let's look at those. A couple of them are in 2 Peter, so why don't we go there? The first one on the list I know is in Romans, but we'll get to that in just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 2. He uses this word twice. Both times it's translated with a different word than the word lascivious. In verse number 7. And deliver just lot vexed with the lascivious conversation of the wicked. Now I know that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says filthy conversation. Now, we know what Sodom and Gomorrah was all about, don't we? God looks down from heaven and says, you know, that's a good illustration of lasciviousness. Their filthiness was a good illustration of having no restraints. Now, think about what they did when Lot had the two angels visit him. Think of how they acted, the townspeople, included all of them. God is saying this is a lack of restraint. And absolutely no remorse, no remorse. Their offense at Job's objections to what they wanted to do to those, what they thought were two men visiting. No guilt and no restraints. And so what we find is that it was descriptive of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, think this through for a minute. God is talking about the certain men crept in unawares. The men we watch on television, Christian television, by the way, it'll ruin you, I'm telling you. The men we listen to on Christian radio, it'll ruin you, I'm warning you, it will. These are the men God says it. Certain men crept in unawares, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. These men, God says, are just like those people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that who you want to follow? Is that who you want to put up as a Bible teacher in your life? I remember back when I first got saved, well, I wanted to listen to everything Christian I could get my ears on. I listened to all kinds of stuff. But then I began to read my Bible and find out not everybody's preaching the Bible. Not everything that calls itself Christian is. We've got to learn to tell the difference so that certain men don't creep in unawares. All right, let's look down, same chapter, down in verse number 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, that's our word right there, through much wantonness, those that are clean escaped from them who live in error. What God is telling us here is that lasciviousness is how they hook their following. Go ahead, you can drink some beer, some alcohol. God doesn't mind. In fact, we see that Jesus made wine in the Bible. Look at the gospel according to John. Didn't he make wine? No, he didn't, by the way. But they say he did. They say he drank it. They'll even have the audacity to say he served it at the Lord's table. That's nowhere, absolutely nowhere in the Bible. We know that. We've read our Bible before. Know that God never uses the word wine in relationship to the Lord's table. And yeah, you can go to churches. I remember when Amy and I were in Bible college, and she worked as a babysitter, kind of combination babysitter, a housekeeper for a, he was a doctor in town, and had some kids, obviously. And he finally met a girl he liked, and they got married, and we were invited to the wedding at a Nazarene church. And they had what they called communion as a part of the wedding. And when that tray passed by me, it just about knocked me off my seat. It stunk. They were serving booze. Well, everybody should show up on communion day. You get to drink booze. Lasciviousness. Taking what God has forbidden and telling us it's okay. What's the first occurrence of that ever taking place in the history of man? It's in the Garden of Eden. You shall not surely die. Just go ahead and take of that tree. I know what God said, but don't worry about it. He's a liar. He's trying to hold out on you. That's what Satan said, and that's what these certain men crept in unawares are doing to you and to me today. Look at how many of them are saying that there's nothing wrong with killing a baby in the mother's womb. By the way, you'll have to ooh and ah every time you see the bulletin this Sunday. Got a celebrity on there. Just happens to be one of my grandkids. And anyway, it's Sanctity of Life Sunday. And look what happened here this past fall in the state of Michigan. They're telling us it's okay. And you have men who pose as pastors saying, oh, there's nothing against that in God's word. There's certain men crept in unawares. These are men who are trying to lure a following with lasciviousness. That's their primary tactic. Your sin is okay. Look at the Roman Catholic system. It doesn't matter what you do. Just come to confession and tell me all about it so I can blackmail you later if I need to. And think it through. That's why they started the confessional booth. Now, way back when, they could control kingdoms that way because they could come clean on those in charge if they wanted to. And they tell them you're not going to heaven if you don't. Boy, what a scam. It's a pretty good one if you think about it. But we can't do it because we want to honor God. We're not in it for ourselves. But lasciviousness, no restraint, no guilt. These certain men crept in unaware are full of it, and that's how they attract a following. Go ahead, participate in your sins. There's nothing wrong with it. All right, we do have one more verse where this word is found, and it's in Romans chapter 13, verse number 13. And again, it's going to be translated with the word wantonness. Romans 13, 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And so basically what he's telling us here about lasciviousness, using that word wantonness, it's the way we ought not to walk. Telling us, don't walk that way. Not like these guys who come in. Don't follow them. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I hope you understand lasciviousness a little bit better than perhaps you did a week ago. The Word of God has enough to say to let us know it's something we ought not be involved in. And yet these certain men crept in unawares, turning the grace of God. Now, you know, this is the exact opposite of Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. Now, I don't remember if I mentioned this verse last week. I don't remember, so I'm going to go ahead and read that. You know this verse, even if you don't know, you know it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Then the first two words of verse number 2, God forbid. But yet, this is exactly what these certain men who've crept in unawares were teaching. Go ahead and sin. The grace of God will cover it. It is sufficient. And so God says, no, God forbid. Now, we see that they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, but they also deny the only Lord. Now, how do they deny him? They deny him in doctrine. God is whatever you make him out to be. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous is all about. God is whatever you imagine him to be. If he's a she, that's fine with us. But there's a lot of men out there in pulpits that teach the same thing. They deny him in deeds. In other words, they don't care what the Bible says. We're going to do what we want to do. If it feels good, it can't be wrong. Boy, what a philosophy to live by. And then they deny him in devotion, which is worship. Personal agenda or popularity is what counts to these fellas. I should have put money, because that's probably the biggest motivator of them all. You can get rich in the religious world if you play your cards right. And you don't care what God has to say, and you don't fear judgment day. Now, their judgment most likely will be at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I don't know, but many of them, by their fruit, that's what you got to expect. So it's unfortunate. Now, there's a lot more in this verse, and I'm trying to decide whether I want to run through it. Well, let's just look at one more thing. The downward spiral of these men, because this is a good warning to us as well. It started out with just a lack of reverence, or the absence of reverence. When he calls them ungodly, I think it progressed downward to twisting God's grace into an excuse for sin. We find that in the word turning. So they lacked reverence, and they went from reverence to turning, twisting God's grace into an excuse for sin. And then their final plunge into the downward spiral was open apostasy, and that's found in the word denying, a downward spiral of these men. And this is very common of those TV preachers and radio preachers that you hear. I don't listen to them. I don't watch them. I don't know if there's even any that are any good. I really don't know. If I'm going to listen to somebody else, I've told you before, I go online. I know who I'm listening to. I know what they stand for because they're willing to put their doctrinal statement in print for the world to see. If you listen to somebody and you look them up online and they don't have any doctrinal statement, guess what? There's certain men crept in. Unawares. I don't care what they sound like. I don't care how good of a preacher they are. If they don't love God and His Word enough to say, this is where I stand, disagree with me if you want, but this is where I stand. If they don't have the character to do that, there's certain men crept in unawares. And we need to avoid them according to the book of Jude, verse number 4. Father, we thank you for the warnings of this verse. Not because we're glad that certain men are crept in unawares. We're just grateful that you loved us enough to warn us that they're here and that we need to always have our spiritual antenna out that we might not be misled. Father, help us to know your word well enough. May your Holy Spirit enlighten our eyes as we read it and study it, Father, that we might be able to recognize those that are. Now as we go our separate way, Father, may you bless us. And your grace sustain us in Jesus' name. Amen.